ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to Monday Scramble. It's a Monday Scramble on Monday. We did Monday Scramble on Tuesday last week. It was quite confusing. We can just keep rolling
semantics.
It forward.
I mean, it's semantics.
We can change the name of it.
I mean, come on. Sometimes the Tonight Show with Jay Leno didn't have Jay Leno. Thursday Night Football often is on Sunday. Just move on, would you?
Monday night.
What?
Monday night. We should just do it Monday night. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I was on the Scramble last week. It wasn't that confusing.
It was very confusing to me. I would like to welcome in, I guess your golfchannel.com czar, Jay Coffin, and very special senior writer, Ryan.
Very special.
You like you're so special you don't have a last name.
Very special senior writer, Ryan Lavender. We're coming off a great week in golf. Obviously, everything that went on at TPC Scottsdale. The NFL had a little bit going on this weekend, right?
Tiny game.
Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game. I came in about 10 minutes late, but thanks to Ricky and Hideki, but I didn't really miss much.
There is no betting. We don't bet. We just do funsies. Just like Phil. We just do funsies.
How do you spell funsies?
There is no betting. Just like
we
Phil.
We don't talk about the bets either.
But did you do any good bets? Because I had the best prop bet ever that I won, by the way.
I actually did not. About 30 minutes before the game, I told the wife, hey, I'm going to open up an account and I'm going to put $200 on the Panthers. And she said, if you haven't done it to this point, don't bother. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Turned out to be a pretty good non-bet, didn't it?
Your wife's smart. I've known that for a long time. Anything?
I'm not a betting man, so no, I did not bet. And nor did I feel confident with the 5.5 points for the Panthers.
You did not?
Seriously, that defense. Well, that's another show for another time.
Defense wins championships.
Best prop bet ever, but I just learned that it went both ways. They did it over-under on the national anthem sung by Gaga. It was 2.5 minutes. I took the over, and I think it came in at 239, but...
Yep. There was a tweet yesterday. There were two sports books in Vegas. One took the under and one paid the over because there was an extra Brave by Lady Gaga at the end. Home of the Brave. And then she added another Brave.
Was it intentional?
No, I'm sure. I don't believe it was intentional. But could you imagine if you're on the bad side of either one of those, the hell you would raise towards the other one that did the opposite?
I was on the good side of it. I actually won. I took that bet. I thought, well, of course. She always goes long. I did not know it was contentious, though. That's interesting.
Apparently it was. Well, not for me, because I did not put the money down. But
well, speaking of tweets, this one's pretty good. From world number one, Jordan Spieth. There you have it. From one big forehead to another, I'd enjoy sharing some time, or a beer, it looks like, with the share of some time. Heck of a post-game interview. Ha ha. Both of them do have big foreheads.
Hey, easy.
Easy? So can we start calling Jordan the sheriff now? Has he inherited that? Can we
just
do that?
Easy with it. In fact, it's not a forehead. It's a five head.
You're talking to...
It's a five head or a six head.
I thought it was a club.
It's way more than a forehead. Trust me. I wrote the book on that, unfortunately.
All right. So we most of us saw the post game from Cam Newton. Very emotional. Another guy who was very emotional on Sunday after losing a playoff at the Waste Management Phoenix Open was Ricky Fowler. This is what he had to say.
Part is having, you know, all my friends and family and... grandpa and my dad, who haven't seen me win. But I'll be able to kind of hang with them tonight. So I'll be all right. But with how good I'm playing, I know I can win. So that's the hard part.
Here's the part that gets me, and I've covered Ricky for a long time. I've been with him over this last stretch. I was in Abu Dhabi and saw how tough he is coming down the stretch. That level of emotion, even after a loss, it surprised me. I mean, were you shocked that he reacted that way?
Really shocked, but obviously this goes something deeper than just losing a golf tournament. It was wanting to win in front of his grandpa, who he's never done that before. His father was at the Players' Championship, I believe, so I think he misspoke there, but his grandpa has never been at a tournament that Ricky won. Inside the ropes and outside the ropes, he's a bit goofy, he's a bit calm, he's a cool character, so to see him break down in tears after this was certainly a surprise to me. Jay, you feel the same way?
Yeah, for sure. I got a note from Ryan Reiterman, who was out there, saying that he kind of lost it a little bit, and I sort of responded back and said, Are you serious? I thought I was reading the email wrong, and it turns back, and I couldn't wait to see it just to see sort of context and everything. It was just a real quick, brief session, and I mean, it's sort of, you can't knock a guy. It's actually sort of refreshing. I like when we're surprised that things like this happens. Look, we know he can be an emotional player. A lot of times in the media, he's a little more guarded, right? Doesn't say a whole lot. Gives you just enough. Could not be nicer. It's terrific.
Yeah, but he's very stoic.
But he's a little guarded and stoic. Then to go ahead and do that, I actually found it refreshing. But you know what, Ricky? I've not been there in person to see you win it. I mean, look, you've only won how many tour professional events? You haven't won a lot, so it's not like there are that many opportunities for them to have seen you. You keep doing this, like you said, it's going to happen this year. Keep Grandpa around this year. I feel like he's going to watch you knock one off.
Well, and you nailed it. Like, I mean, being around him after these victories at the Players' Championship in Abu Dhabi, you don't get that level of emotion on the other side. He's not in the media center celebrating and cracking jokes. Again, very friendly guy, but you're right, he's very guarded. So to see him come out the other side in what was clearly a tough loss, it would be a tough loss for anyone. But the fact is, he executed a lot of really good shots. What was interesting to me is we go back to TPC Sawgrass last year and how well he executed. I mean, the birdie 16. I mean, I'm 17. Three straight times on Sunday, and he absolutely, I mean, what he did at 16, I mean, on 17 at TPC Scottsdale was just ridiculous.
Well, the trademark of Ricky Fowler now, he's completely changed the narrative of his style of play.
Correct.
He was this exciting
Correct.
Player, but now he's become one of the best closers in golf. Not just the Players, where he was 6-under for his final six, but you saw what he did at the Scottish Open, where he birdied three of the last four. You saw what he did at the Deutsche Bank, where he played so well on the back nine and overtook Henrik Stenson there. You saw, Rex, you were there in Abu Dhabi, where he holed the bunker shot on the 71st hole. So he was one of the best closers in golf, but I don't think that he necessarily blinked on this occasion. He had a brilliant long iron into 15 to get a two-putt birdie there. On 16, he hit it stiff, couldn't make the putt there. On 17,
it was a good shot.
He hit a driver 340 yards dead straight. Now, you could
he hit his line with a driver, which is all you can add.
You could quarrel with the decision to hit a driver there.
But who thinks it's going to go that far? Right.
Well, adrenaline, he tried to hit a little cut shot, but that was a good shot just didn't have a very good result, and then he birdied 18.
Yeah, you know, we were so spoiled by Tiger doing it 98% of the time, right? And even over the last year, you're talking about Ricky, so it's sort of like, you're right, the narrative has changed, so I think even we thought that this meant any time he was in that position, he's going to, it's just not going to happen.
He was in
right?
that position, he just made a poor decision when he was in that position.
Right, exactly. I'm a little more surprised at 17 in the playoff. Now, okay, you know, that happened in 17. And give credit to Matsuyama for finishing birdie-birdie to get into that playoff, right? But I thought that when it was the two of those mano a mano, that those two going head-to-head, I thought, okay, Ricky has him. All right, I know Hideki can be steady and everything, and he didn't do anything spectacular.
He was steady.
I know 80,000 people crowded into that amphitheater,
exactly,
thought so.
Exactly.
That's sure.
So that's where, not necessarily surprised that 17 the first time, I'm more surprised at it the second time, and that Ricky didn't find a way to get it done just head-to-head when it was just those two guys.
Heard this in the newsroom, and it's interesting that we would go this route. So there's an aggressiveness, at least when he played that hole in regulation, that you're going to question. We Monday morning quarterback, it's what we do. And is there a concern? It's funny, go back just a couple years, and we were beating the kid up, because remember, he laid up.
Yeah,
and he had a chance to win.
Phoenix,
so now it's sort of the flip side.
That was from 230 yards with water short.
He had the exact same yardage on Sunday this year and went for it, executed a great shot. But my point is,
that shows the difference in the
players.
It's
the same DNA. I mean, Butch has dialed him back a little bit, his swing coach, Butch Harmon. But the fact is, this is the same guy. It's the same DNA. And he thought driver, he originally pulled three wood on that hole in regulation. He went back and got the driver. You can't fault him for it, and he executed the shot.
You can fault him for it, though, because he had a two-shot lead with two holes to play. A driver or a three wood are the only clubs that's going going to bring water long and left into play. With a two-shot lead, you can afford to hit an iron down the right side, wedge it on to 15 or 20 feet, and make a par at worst.
He's not
thinking
that way, though.
Have a one. You should.
No, but he
should. Tiger Woods or Jordan Spieth thinks that way in that situation.
Well, exactly. You hit that club. You hit driver on that hole if you're one behind. Right, or if you're two behind, and you need to make a two or a three,
with a two-shot lead, you can't make that decision.
Yeah, I think, and it was. You're right. I mean, three would have been. I mean, now looking back at it, would have been a beautiful play right there. You're right. Just get it and play. You have to find five wood
was the right play. You end up short.
I would. Now you've gone down. Why don't you just play it wedge? I mean, you're just taking the fun out of the game.
He hit three wood into the drink in the playoff.
Well, if he played wedge, he
hit three wood.
Five.
Exactly. I was going to point that out. So he hits three wood into the drink in the playoff. And the fact is, and I know you're not supposed to think that way, but if you watch him hit that tee shot on 16, when he, you know, in regulation, he doesn't even look at it. He reaches down, grabs his, because he knows he's absolutely.
He's cold-blooded. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he's thinking the same thing after he hits the driver. I mean, he knows, oh, that's a perfect shot.
And it was. It was a perfect shot that had a terrible result, but it was a bad decision. He should not have brought the water into play, and driver did.
Here's the part that we have talked for probably 5 minutes about Ricky. The guy that won.
Oh, yeah,
the guy that won. I mean, it's amazing to think how little we actually know about him. You and I cover the tour. We're out there on a regular basis. Haven't spent a lot of time with one-on-one scrumming with Hideki, but you talk about being cold-blooded. What he did in the playoff, he executed every shot like he needed to coming down the stretch.
I mean, the guy's a ball-striking machine. You look at his swing. It is technically sound. He absolutely rips it. He's long. He's straight. Everything you would want in a ball striker Hideki Matsuyama has. The only knock you could possibly have on him is his putter. But over the final 28 holes of this tournament, he did not blink. He did not make a mistake. He did not drop a shot. He didn't even give other guys a chance. I mean, this was Hideki, the best we've seen him. The Memorial, he kind of backed into that one when Kevin Na choked it away a little bit. But this was Hideki as good as he's going to get. And he was great on the final day.
As good as he's going to get. All right, before I get to that,
Well, first of all, can we all agree that it was painful? He's painfully slow. It was just hard to watch on the greens. I mean, it is. I'm not trying to change the top, but I mean, we are talking about him. Like, I mean, I'm not kidding. I had to change the channel.
I was convinced
when he's standing
someone,
over, I can't watch it.
I was convinced that someone was going to yell during his downswing because he was standing over the ball frozen for so long.
That to me,
and you could hear in the background,
the definition of unwatchable. That it was. Happy for him, good for him. He validates the first victory, the first PGA Tour victory, adds another one. It to me, it got under pressure. Was
what is he thinking?
You think he has nightmares about John Paramore and that stopwatch when he's sleeping
well,
at night.
He should never play a European tour event.
He would get rung up there for sure. I don't know that he's the slowest on the PGA Tour.
It is painful. I'll give you that.
He's the slowest over the ball.
You know what's amazing? No, like being in Abu Dhabi, I never thought of Jordan Spieth as a slow player. Being there after he got that penalty, putting him on the clock myself, counting when he is on the green, not playing two green. When he's on the green, he's slow.
Breaking news here, Rex.
But he makes
Rex,
a lot of putts.
Breaking news here, Rex Hoggard put Jordan Spieth on the clock.
I did, just in time. I mean, it was 70 seconds to hit a shot one time. I mean, I was blown
maybe,
away
maybe
by
maybe everyone else should take the extra 10 seconds because he makes a lot of putts.
It's unwatchable. And my wife or kids, we're sitting around, you know, the ball game's coming up.
Super
my little
about
guy's
to
like,
come on.
What is Dad, what is this guy
change
doing?
Change the channel.
Like, I don't have an answer. What is this guy doing? It's awful.
He's just a click machine. You're just going to click every time you get to him. Real quick on Hideki, what's the ceiling for him?
I have two major concerns with Matsuyama. The first
I have two
one,
major concerns with you. Go
okay.
ahead.
I have
that's
more than
it.
That.
Man, it's very generous. All right. The first one is that he swings so violently, his body is bound to break down. He's already suffered through wrist injuries and back injuries. He's only 23 years old. I expect that to continue. Kind of the Jason Day syndrome.
A lot of hard swings on that body.
Okay,
a lot of hard swings. That is
point.
A genuine concern I have for Hideki's future. Second is his putter. Every year he's been on tour has not been better than 147th on tour strokes gained putting. That is a major concern, and it's the biggest reason why he hasn't cracked golf's top tier with Ricky and Rory and Jordan. Those guys are all superior
putters. I didn't realize it's that bad.
It's that bad.
Say that he's 147th.
He's 147th right now. In 2014, when he won the Memorial Tournament, he was actually 156th.
Which tournament did he win?
The Memorial.
Just making sure. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I know you have a problem with what he just said, so if you don't mind, I would rather just sit back and watch.
Well, I mean, that's just nonsensical. As far as him...
Nonsensical. Those are statistics. He's a poor putter.
He is a streaky putter.
He is a below
average
putter.
I think there is a huge difference. You do not win at Muirfield Village. And we just walked by Tripp Eisenhower, who has played Muirfield Village a few times coming down the hallway. And I made this point to him, and he agreed with me. You don't putt poorly and win at Muirfield Village. Even this week, you can say you cannot putt poorly.
Okay, but his streaks are 1 or 2 weeks at a time.
That's fine. But what I asked you was, what's his ceiling? His ceiling is majors is what we're talking about here. Finished fifth last year at Augusta. Got to putt halfway decent to finish fifth. I'm not saying he's a good putter. I'm saying he's better than you're making him out to be. He's better than what those numbers say.
I'm not making him out to be anything. These are statistics, Rex. He is a below average putter on the PGA
Tour. His record
is
what he says he is beyond those statistics.
His ball striking is good enough to put him in contention. I'm not sure his putting is good enough to win those tournaments.
He's played in 13 majors and missed one cut.
Let me be the voice of reason here, you know, which is often the case.
No, you can write the tie. So
in 10 years from now, what will his record look like? And then I want each of you to tell me in 10 years from now, how many victories, a major or not, tell me.
In 10 years?
Yeah.
I think his ball striking is good enough.
So he's what, 23 now? 23. So he's 33.
His ball striking alone is good enough to win at least one major, and he could get to
tournaments. When I asked you what his ceiling is,
of course he's going to win a major. His ball striking is that good.
He's going to win a major.
So you guys are sitting here arguing, but you really agree?
He's painting this man like he's got rock hands is all I'm trying to get around here.
He does have rock hands. He's frozen over the ball.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
He's a terrific player. He's top. He's the 12th ranked player in the world.
Yeah, it's not a mistake to be 12th.
But everyone wants to put him because he's 23 years old and he's under 27, which seems to be this umbrella that you want to put him in that top 4 or 5 players in the world.
He cannot get there. He's not in the top 4 or 5, but he's going to win a major. He may win multiple majors.
So you guys basically agree. You sat here and just chirped at each other for the better part of 3 minutes.
Turns out.
And you both agree. So in 10 years, what will his record be?
Oh, I think he'll have at least one, probably more than that.
And how many tour events?
And how many wins?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's hard to win on the PGA.
I'd probably say eight.
All right. My job's done.
You're
here.
Fine.
Everyone
wants to put him in this big 4 or 5. They're saying you have to include Hideki there.
You cannot until he improves
his putt.
I agree with that.
Now, one thing we're probably going to agree on better, though, and I just want to replay this sound though, real quick before they cue it back up, is Bubba Watson. We can all agree that Bubba at his best is entertaining. Bubba at his worst is, I'm going to go with petulant. Let's hear what he had to say last week before he played in Phoenix.
I'm here because of my sponsors and everything, and so I love coming here. It's always great weather. Used to have a house here, so it's always beautiful coming here and playing here.
Okay. Bubba, you've never shot a round over par here.
Thank you. Now I just jinxed it.
Why do you like this golf?
I don't like it. I'm not going to PC it. I don't like it at all. And I just mentioned why I'm here. I got 3 beautiful sponsors that love it here.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yes, Bubba, I have a question. 3 top fives, 2 runner-up finishes. I don't like it. What do you like, Bubba?
Well, first of all, though, Rex, I want to go back and correct you. You say at his best, he's entertaining. At his worst, he's petulant. At his worst, he's petulant, which is also wildly entertaining.
It can be.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily fun to be on the other end of some of his barbs every now and then, but that was fantastic. That was the best thing that happened to our website early in the week, was it not? To be able to put that video up there, be able to put those headlines up there. So I actually... You know, I'm not going to applaud the guy because I can't imagine that his sponsors are even remotely happy about that. But I love the fact that once or twice a year, you can just count on him just letting it fly. And he's going to put his foot in his mouth, and we're going to capitalize on it.
Just to be clear, he did walk the comments back later in the week a little bit.
But he also got hammered on 16.
Probably because he got hammered by a tour of his sponsors. I actually don't have any problem with his comments. And Rex, you've talked to these players. I don't think he's in the minority of opinions here saying that the redesign at TPC Scottsdale has gone particularly well.
Phil has hammered many a golf course.
Yeah, Phil in particular said this golf course has gone from being an offensive course to a defensive course. So, yeah, Bubba Watson, who's one of the longest hitters on the PGA Tour, is probably not going to like the changes in this course. The problem, of course, when it comes to Bubba is not necessarily what he says, but how he says it. His delivery is moody, it's grumpy, it's petulant, it's whiny, it's entitled. That rubs people the wrong way, and Rex, you saw it for 4 days
They
dude just got it. Absolutely ripped.
Oh, that hammer, it was beautiful.
And then he
it.
Said he was hurt. He was hurt because of it.
And yeah. then he was hurt. Okay. And here's the deal, and I wrote this last week, and you're going to agree with it, and you've been there, you're going to agree with it. We want the players to be honest.
Yeah, no,
we
no,
want
no.
to hear these honest answers. We want to hear Ricky's emotion, which we hadn't seen basically ever. Even in Bubba's case, because you don't want the guys who are guarded. The opposite of that is Ricky, after he wins, really doesn't say much. He doesn't mm-hmm. give us much. My problem with this is he's sort of looking at things from 30,000 feet, when in fact you have a good record at this golf course. You may only be there because of Oakley and the rest of your sponsors. You can't say it.
Well, yeah, exactly. And there are ways to say, like we talked about Phil. Phil has hammered golf course after golf course after golf course, and it makes headlines, but he doesn't come across as petulant, right? Not like he has an axe to grind. But Bubba could have stood up there and go, man, you know what? Have you seen my record around this place? I play so good around here.
But it doesn't make any sense because I don't really like the golf course. That's all he has to say.
It's amazing.
It doesn't fit my eye.
A couple holes
just doesn't fit.
It's exactly right. Look, I'm here. It's a great week. I love this town. I love this city. A lot of my sponsors are here. Just not crazy about it, but man, you know what? A top five this week, it's probably, you know what? I'm in. I hope to win, but I've top five my way around this place for the last 5 years. Let's go get them. And like, there's a way to do it without the petulant thing, right? You add that petulant word, you know, Phil has never comes across as petulant.
And the sad thing here is that Bubba thinks this was just going to die in the desert.
It's
now
not.
this 1 week comment, this is going to follow him
next year when
for
he
the entire
up.
Year. He's
yep.
going to follow the entire year. Yeah, Bubba, you just here because your sponsors. He's going to hear that 25 more times
this year.
Until he says something else where he puts his foot in his mouth.
Exactly.
Well, and the problem with Bubba and going beyond this particular week, and we've seen it time and time again, when they were at Pinehurst for the U.S. Open, he talked about it being a Muni, and they would call that dirt. I mean, there's plenty of courses he shows up and he immediately doesn't like. From a pure competitive standpoint, he's shooting himself in the foot. That's the bigger issue when it comes personally to Bubba, that, look, you had the game. I am tired. I am out of the doubting Bubba business because I was in it for a long time, and he continues to prove me wrong week in and week out. In this particular case, he needs to stop showing up at golf courses and turning up his nose.
That's like all artists, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's different. He gets in his own way.
He's quirky.
But he's creative and he's different.
Right. He's one down on the first tee on Thursday, right? Because
there's no way I should have taken him in fantasy golf last week, and I did.
You took him.
Of course I did. His record was too good to ignore. Yeah. I actually thought he did well to finish T14, considering everything that's swirling around him. My God, that was a great performance. One of the best of the year.
All right, moving on to Europe, where Rory played. He finished tied for sixth. There is, I don't want to say a level of concern, because look, that's just his second start of the year. I don't think anybody needs to throw up concerns, because
I don't think anybody wants to throw up concerns yet. I'm mentioning in my intro into the Rory section.
But there's some concern here.
That's like, Rex, whatever you do, don't think of a brown dog. You just
brown
thought
dog.
Of a brown dog, didn't
brown
you?
Dog.
Whatever you do, don't think of a brown dog. You just
brown
thought
dog.
Of a brown. So by saying, there's not a level of concern
my
here.
My dog had
but...
spots, but the spots were brown.
Dear God.
Yeah, that's
all right,
not
I'll
good.
Let you
where are you possibly going with this?
He finished T for six. Are there
just
any concerns? He finished third to start the year in Abu Dhabi. There you go.
No, there's no concern. I'd like to see him play at Riviera against Spieth again. I think that would be a better litmus test. He's going to be playing a lot of golf now in the States for the next 5, 6, 7
against
weeks.
Against some studly fields.
The only thing, I guess, Rex, that was a bit surprising was that his record in this tournament is so good. I mean, he was struggling to make the cut on Friday. Rex, that was the first time since 2009 that he had finished around outside the top 10 at this tournament, which was remarkable. Obviously, he played well on the weekend to backdoor a top 10 here, but I thought that was a little bit surprising that he at least didn't give himself a chance to win.
I don't get all that worked up over it. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, let him get back here and see how he plays at Riviera.
Let's get to Augusta before we start being worried.
Exactly. He's going to get to Florida. He's every field he's playing from now until the Masters is going to be tip-top shape. And if he doesn't play well, then he's just not going to have good results. He'll have to pick it up. He's going to be going against Spieth at Riviera, get back to Honda's pretty good, Doral.
At least he's not going to be under-golfed and heading into Augusta, which he has been the last couple of years.
Yeah, he has. Because of the schedule, he's wanted to pick and choose a little bit, and he will make his 2016 debut on the PGA Tour, as you pointed out, in Los Angeles at the Northern Trust Open. This is a conversation we had last week between Will and I would be curious, just resurface it just to hear your thoughts. When he's at his best, I'm talking about Rory, and Jordan is at his best, who are you taking?
Rory.
I'm still taking Jason Day.
That's a good pick. I like that. No, that's good. It's amazing how many people told me that when I brought that up in Abu Dhabi.
The combination of power, precision, and touch around the greens is the best combination.
Rory has none of those?
Rory's not the best putter.
Jason Day's...
As Jason Day said last year, he is the product of if Rory and Jordan had a baby.
I think is what he is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's that player.
Right, so if he's the next generation isn't always better than their parents, Lavner.
He on paper is the perfect player. Whether that translates to the most majors, the most victories, probably not.
I'd take Rory.
On paper, he is the best player.
I still think Rory's extra gear, man. That extra gear is just hard to deny. He's done it more often than day. I've seen the extra gear from Rory more often than I've seen it from Jason. And I think over the next 5 to 8 years, Rory's going to win more majors and have his A game more. And when he does, he's untouchable.
I thought he was going to pick Matsuyama. Too soon? Too soon. Too soon.
Speed's extra gear, though, isn't something that we're scoffing at here. I mean, he's shot 30 under par at Kapalua.
I gotcha.
And he seems to be more consistent.
Picking up what you're, I agree with that. If you're talking about over a year, who can average a better finish? You know, Jordan is going to be
1-1-4-2
exactly.
In the majors.
Rory's going to be more Phil, right? Super streaky. But when he wins, he's going to be.
I think Rory's going to be a little bit more regular, so to speak. That's probably not the right word, but
don't we all strive to be regular?
We do. You know what they call this? They call this a good transition. You know who's in the field this week at Pebble Beach?
Spieth.
And Day.
And Jason.
Yeah.
What are you expecting out of Jordan this week? I mean, obviously he was tired. A lot of travel, was not very happy with it, made it pretty clear. Now, when he shows up, clearly this is because of his arrangement with AT&T. Yeah. He hasn't tried to hide that at all.
I expect
is
him
he,
not to go full bubble.
Well, is he refreshed enough to get back to what he was doing, I don't know, 3 months ago?
I don't know. I mean, he had seven, eight days. You think maybe he took 4 or 5 days off there and started picking up the clubs maybe this past weekend. More than being refreshed, I think these golf courses fit his eye. He doesn't need to be a bomber around there. I think he likes the low-key atmosphere playing with superstar Jake Owen. I think it's going to be another good finish. I think he'll contend.
Is that his name?
Superstar Jake Owen.
I'm more looking forward to Riviera. Look, I love Pebble Beach. It was one of my favorite golf courses, but it is different. It's just these six-hour rounds, the different golf courses. It is hard to get in a rhythm. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to contend and not going to play well, but I want to see when all this is done, when we're back to 5.5-hour rounds instead of 6-hour rounds, and we're at one golf course at a place like Riviera next week, coming off whatever happens this week. I'm more anxious to see how he does there before we start to get to Florida. But I mean, look, he's Jordan Spieth. He shows up everywhere he is. The dude shows up. When's the last time the guy showed up at an event or failed to show up?
FedEx Cup playoffs.
Exactly. That's a long time ago.
Long time ago,
and he's got a pretty good history since then.
If you had to pick the three, and we've talked about Jason Day and obviously Jordan Spieth in the field this week, we're kind of glossing over the defending champ Snedeker, who's coming off of a victory and probably the round of the year at Torrey Pines. Is he getting to that conversation at all?
He's licking his chops getting here, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right? Coming back as the defending champion, he's going to have a lot of the pre-tournament hype, right? Like, you're going to talk about Jordan, you're going to talk about Jason, but he's going to be number three because he just won recently and he's the defending champ here. So, look, the dude puts lights out. He obviously loves it out there. He'll be in the mix somewhere. Too good not
to
be in the mix.
Yeah, I certainly think he's one of the pre-tournament favorites just because of his...
Well, what are you looking for?
If you had to pick one of the three.
Oh, one of the three to win?
This week?
Sure. It's not a one-and-done league. Don't sweat it out. You're fine.
I'll take Spieth.
Of the three, I would probably take Spieth.
Yeah.
But I also like Jimmy Walker, Dustin Johnson this week.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys to like.
Not in the conversation. You did not.
They're in my conversation.
You did not follow directions.
They're not
in
your conversation, but they were in his conversation.
That's the beauty of sitting here at the stoplight. You get to direct traffic.
There are a lot of guys to. So basically, it would it wouldn't be a disappointment. But we're talking a top 10.
Playing on three golf courses. It's hard to predict a winner here. I'll go with the guy who's a proven track record, like Sneds or
Jimmy Walker. Whether may be a huge factor, may not be any of a factor. You don't know until you wake up in the morning and look outside what you're going to be dealing with. It could be a long week.
I have our producer in my ear right now, and this is unfortunate that I got to ask this question because I know you're not going to be happy. If you had to pick one celebrity, I'm going to go and throw it out there because he's told me to do it twice.
Couldn't care less.
There you go. You?
Could not care less.
Beyonce?
No one's going to say Manny. He had a pretty good game last night.
Yeah, that's fine, but I mean, it's like, look.
I would rather spend 5 hours with Cam Newton.
Really?
More
After
fun.
That press conference the other night, you'd
more
rather
fun.
Spend. Really? You
I
think
want,
he's going to be more fun?
I want happy Cam.
No.
I want happy Cam.
You're not
going to
get.
I mean,
it.
I'd rather play with. Look, when you walk inside the ropes with Tiger Woods for a living, for the last 20 years.
This isn't a big deal.
You're pretty jaded, and somebody like me who doesn't get fired up about much of it.
Doesn't do much for me.
I could not care less.
Doesn't do much for me.
But you know what? I wouldn't mind going. I wouldn't mind playing with like Jim Harbaugh, have him go climb up a tree to get your ball. I mean, he'd do something crazy, right? He may be talking about roller coaster, but he'd be fun after some of those recruiting antics over the last.
And his
last
superstar Jake Owen.
He is a superstar.
Well, that's up for debate. I'll give you that one.
In country circles, sure.
Country circles? Along the Cam Newton conversation, and this, what we were talking about this earlier, if you didn't see his press conference on Sunday after the Super Bowl loss.
Howdy.
It was pouty. It was
petulant.
He's on top of the world where they're winning. They lose. He turns into Bill Belichick.
And my point is what we talked about this morning. I think players, as a player, as a competitor, you learn a lot in a loss. Mm-hmm. More so than you do in a win. Mm-hmm. I think you learn a lot about a player, whether if that's football or golf, in a loss than you do in a win. Because I immediately go back to Jordan Spieth standing behind the 18th green at St. Andrews last year. Mm-hmm. Just lost the opportunity to win the single season Grand Slam. He knew it.
In heartbreaking fashion, nonetheless.
In heartbreaking fashion, but he wanted to be there for Zach and sat and talked to us, and he didn't too answer us, and he didn't storm off. I think that shows a lot, and I think there is something to be said for someone's character.
And he's much younger than Cam Newton, too.
Sure.
Not much, but three, four years younger.
Now, the spotlight probably. The spotlight clearly is not as intense on Jordan, even at that time, as it was on Cam last week.
The spotlight's been on Jordan his entire life.
Yeah.
And he's handled it successes. He's had a lot of them. He's also handled some pretty tough losses with class.
Not a whole lot of missteps.
With respect for his peers. I think that's why he's so admired amongst his peers, because he does handle himself like a professional.
Totally agree. To be that young and have hardly any missteps. I mean, he's not perfect by any means. We're not trying to anoint him. But, I mean, there's not been a whole lot of missteps over this last crazy whirlwind year and a half.
Rory, too. I mean, let's not forget. I think we're pretty hashtag blessed with who we're getting at the top of the world rankings.
Absolutely.
They all support themselves well. They handle themselves like professionals. Yeah. The knock on Cam Newton his entire life has been that he's petulant and pouty, and it tends to rub off on his teammates the wrong way. This year you didn't see it because he was winning.
Correct.
And winning a lot.
And there's something to be said for, look, golfers lose a lot. Even Jordan Spieth loses a lot, and he's the world number one right now, and Rory. Cam didn't lose that much this year.
Nope.
Football players really don't lose that much. They only really have to, if you're a good quarterback at that level, you're probably only talking about a loss six times a year, five times a year if it's not a good year. Jordan's probably used to it more so. That would be my only argument.
Peyton's handled himself well.
Russell Wilson, a year ago, threw the worst interception in the history of the Super Bowl, which is basically the history of football, correct? He sat down for 20 minutes afterwards and kind of went through the motions.
I always think of Scott Norwood, too. Yeah. Missed the field goal. He sat at his locker for 25 minutes, answered every single question. When he was done, he asked, do you guys have any more questions?
Yeah.
Stood there and took it like a man. You have to respect that.
Yep.
Well, and we were talking about this earlier, too, that your Brent Snedeker lost the Masters.
Yes.
He sat on that podium and cried for 20 minutes. He was not getting off easy. He was not one. They were, next question. They just kept going around the room, making sure everyone had a chance to do it. Real quick, we're coming up on the end of the West Coast swing, throwing this out there. Who has to get a victory before they come east?
Get a victory?
Yeah.
Wow. Nobody. There's only two events
has
left.
Has to get a victory?
Nobody.
I was thinking Phil.
No. I mean, Phil doesn't have to. Look, I like what I've seen from Phil.
The majority of Phil's wins have come on the West Coast, where he's comfortable early in the season.
He was going to get a victory this year. It was going to come on the West Coast, and he's running out of time.
I can see him still winning at Quail Hollow. I can see him winning at Memphis. I'm not sure he has to.
Yeah.
It would certainly be good for his confidence, because right now we've seen uneven performances. We've seen good play in what was a dome-like setting in Palm Springs. We saw kind of listless performance at Torrey Pines, and then we saw flashes of good play again. Putter couldn't get going.
Yeah, he needs to show up two or three of the biggest weeks. If he shows up and has a top five or a top 10 at the Masters, that's going to help his Ryder Cup cause. He doesn't have to win to make that Ryder Cup, right? He kind of just needs to be in the conversation.
It's the time where he needs to cash in, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Olympics has to be thrown in there as well. I mean, either you make a move now or it's going to get early, late. I mean, we're sneaking
up. He's got no chance to the Olympics,
to be honest.
It's
not going to happen.
No chance.
Zero.
Just like Hideki has no chance.
Phil's got to win three times this year to crack that top four.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Probably. It's hard. Snedeker's right there on the ledge.
Snedeker's right there. Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson.
It's going to be hard to do.
All those guys. Brooks Koepka.
It's going to be a very busy week in golf. Obviously, we talked a lot about Pebble Beach. The seniors are in action as well this week. The European Tour is in South Africa. Any other closing thoughts from you guys? Super Bowl thoughts? No, I mean, clearly you didn't lose $200, so you're pretty happy.
That is correct. And my wife, who lived in Denver and grew up in Indianapolis, I can tell you, happy wife, happy life. I mean, look, she's pretty pleased with the outcome, too, which is another reason why I didn't bet the Panthers. I didn't want to have to deal with that.
And you got to smoke your ribs.
Yeah, I got to smoke ribs, pork ribs, beef ribs.
And who ate them all?
And chicken wings. I did.
How do you not weigh 300 pounds?
I don't live very far from you.
Rex, it's starting to add up. Let's just put it that way. I do have a physical later this afternoon.
2 miles from you. Didn't get the invite.
There is something to be said for restraint sometimes. We'll see about that next week. That'll do it for this edition, Monday Scramble. We'll see you guys next week.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.